Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We and you, if you are supporting Republic Review, then you are a part of the solution. And we want to thank you. One, thank you for tuning in. We would ask you to start sharing this message. And what I want to do is, some of the times I'm talking to you, actually what I should be doing, I should be trying to frame this. If this is how you need to approach, because many of you are already aligned to, and it's not like you're not understanding that the frog is being boiled, that you're being boiled. That's why you're engaged. This is how you need to frame it or place context to it when you're talking to other people. And so, as you know, as we go through this, and what we've done so far is we've kind of covered the resolutions, the report on the resolutions, and notes on nullification by Madison. So we've given you the primary documents that give you the detailed view of Thomas Jefferson and James Madison regarding what do you do when the federal government is violating the Constitution. So what we're going to do today is we're going to try to summarize that. We're going to try to dive into some, what I don't want to say marketing per se, but it's marketing. It's not necessarily marketing framed towards everything that's going on today, because we're not going to go through the news. But what we are going to do is we're going to talk about how important it is that people start walking away from television. I mean, it's one thing if you find something that is really, really good entertainment, then watch that. But don't watch it on TV. And, let me tell you how we do this before I go through the obligatories. My wife and I, there are certain shows that we really enjoyed. And there are some shows that we enjoyed that we kind of want to watch, but we don't have them. And some of these shows are kind of old shows because it's showing our age. Because some shows that we've watched over the course of our lifetime go back and say, you know, that was a really good show. And so one show that we watch regularly that we knew was a really, really good show, and I say that not because it pushed envelopes or anything like that, and one of our favorite shows is Everybody Loves Raymond. It's a wholesome show. It really doesn't go into dark subjects. It doesn't, you know, ponder deeply. I mean, it does go through some of the, you can tell it's a modern day show that has been affected by GLAAD and the homosexual political agenda, because they've had some shows reflecting that, but they chose not to necessarily be panderers to the agenda like a lot of other shows. I mean, they had to address it and they kind of put it where it was, because the show wasn't about agendas or anything else. It was about a tight-knit family. And if you look at the time frame when this show was going on, cell phones and technology was already coming to be, and they did not include technology. I think if I remember correctly, there was only one use of a cell phone, and I think there's only maybe two, at the most, possibly three shows out of all of their shows that even referred to a cell phone. So it wasn't about the technology or anything else. It was about relationships. It was about family relationships. And it was one of those shows that took a lighter view towards the norm, or I would say the standard problems that arise in families. You know, oh yeah, and many times when people watch it or watch shows like that, they try to personalize. Oh, you do that, and so it's one of those shows where you could easily do that, but it's a light show that we watch before we go to bed, because it helps us get our mind off of all of the crap and how evil things are. And it allows us to kind of, you know, lighten up our load so that when we go to bed, boom, we can go to sleep and not worry about the latest things. Because if you watch something stressful, if you watch something intense, then you're going to find yourself, you know, kind of tense when you go to bed, especially right before you go to bed. And find the time. You need to find the time when to do this, just to kind of shut down. This is your shutdown time, right? And this is your shutdown time should be your entertainment time. At least that's how we do this. And I want to kind of get into, you know, my paradigm, because it was very aptly put to me by somebody I was sitting next to on a recent flight. And so I'll get into that. But more importantly, what I want to get into is a summary. And so before I really get into the routines, I'm just kind of telling you on a personal side, you need to start unplugging and watching only the shows. If you need intelligence, you need news, what's going on, the only way to get good news or good accurate information is by just scanning the intelligence, or I should say the reporting, on the different sites. And you can start looking at what they're promoting and what they're trying to ram down your throat. You don't need to spend hours and hours over the issue that Hunter Biden is, you know, an evil guy, that he did all of these terrible things. We already know these things. And it's already been out there so long that you know he's not going to get arrested. He's not going to be charged. He's an elitist. And we do not have equal justice in our legal system anymore. I mean, you see these social justice warriors that want people to be held accountable, but they won't hold the champions that are promoting the not justice, but the communist justice. They want a distribution. They want to go after the conservatives. This is why the conservatives and constitutionalists are the enemy. But bottom line, if you're spending time listening to these talk show entertainers, these conservative entertainers on TV, stop it. If I haven't done anything, I hope I've at least proven that they're wasting your time. And as a matter of fact, I'll give you a good example, and I won't do it today. I'll get into it probably tomorrow, because there was an email that was sent out by a political leader, and what I want to do is I want to focus on the article, because the article is focused on Rand Paul. And so hopefully we'll get to that tomorrow. We're going to go through a little bit of this marketing, because I have to keep these things separate for myself. But we'll get into Republic Review, which is content, once we kind of cover and kind of catch up a little bit. But the summary is important. And I don't want to reread, but I want to give you the information right now. If you didn't know, so we started, let me see here, last week we wrapped it up on the 6th of August, and so we started this, you know, information and content regarding the resolutions and how Thomas Jefferson and James Madison gave us the breadcrumb trail of Republic Review on starting on the 19th of July. So it was three full weeks that took us through all of these documents. We had five documents. But before we get into that, let me get through the obligatories. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions. Now, one of the things I actually want to talk to you about is I want to give you a quick promo, because I need to start injecting these. Because, you know, when people, I was just talking to somebody recently that they, you know, where do you buy American? As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with a group of people down in California, and we were talking about trying to promote, you know, to get out of this buy crap from China. And so I pointed out that if you're looking for quality, you know, bookshelves, you're looking for quality wood furniture that you can either custom build, and we're talking solid oak, solid walnut. Now, I know it's going to be expensive to get that, but if you look at what you're paying today from this crap and you compare it in contrast and price, and you know, see, when you buy solid, let's say you have it for 15, 20 years and you give it to your kids. This is furniture your kids, if they understand how to hold a block and sandpaper and sand something down, they can refinish this thing to brand new quality without ever having to go buy another desk, another table, another audio rack, another bookshelf. This is the stuff that becomes heirlooms. And it, again, like I told you, it doesn't have what they used to have back in the 17th century it was the 17th, 18th, and 19th century where there was some of the detailed carvings, that type of stuff. No, this is just real quality built. And as a matter of fact, it's easy to disassemble. So if you move, you can flatten it out so it doesn't take up a whole bunch of space in your moving truck or what have you. So anyway, Timber Nation. So go to timbernation.com. Check out what these guys have provided for audio systems and other types of things in your house. And don't, because these guys are willing to do custom work for you. If you really want to get something done that's custom, I would just say go to these guys and talk to them. They will do everything they can to meet your requirements. And it's not going to happen overnight. If you need it tomorrow, okay, then that's unreasonable expectations. And as a matter of fact, I used to have a mechanic that had a sign that was on the wall behind him. He said, you could choose any two out of the three. You can't have all three. And one was quality. You could get really quality work, you know, and a quality product from them. Or you can get it quick in a very short period of time. Or you can get it cheap. So you had to pick two. So you could go with quality and cheap, then, you know, they would just do the work they can, but you won't get all of the things done you need, and it won't be necessarily quickly on time, because 9 times out of 10, it takes time to get things done. And so anyway, when you start thinking about the options of three, and you can only have two, well, it's unreasonable to start expecting that you can get some quality and something, you know, that would be cheap in just a day. That's where you go to Walmart, right? Anyway, we've got a break. We'll be right back after these two promos. We'll finish the obligatories and get into a summation for you. We'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things that obligatory we need to tell you is that we have Red Pill Expo that is just around the corner. It's coming up in November, and what we want you to do is we want you to start challenging your state legislators and asking them why are they going, especially because their attendance to the event is free. All they need to do is reach out to Red Pill Expo, identify themselves as a state legislator, not a congressperson, a state legislator. They can go to these events for free. So if you live in the Louisiana area, if you live in Arkansas or any neighboring area, Missouri, I mean, any of these areas that it's a reasonable drive to get down to Lafayette, Louisiana this November, then you need to say, why are you not going? And point them to redpillexpo.org. I believe that's, or just Google it and make sure that that's where it is. And just send them the link so that you have the link and you make it easy for them. And you should be reaching out to them and begging them, if they are true champions, if they call themselves conservatives and they care about what's going on, then this is a great way to introduce them to a concept that is beyond them right now, because a lot of them have not even heard, because we only sent emails because I haven't gotten enough. I think out of the states, we got 13 or 14 states now that we've been sending constitutional minutes to. And right now, most all the sessions are out. California, I think, starts their sessions, or they have an odd schedule and they kind of go year round. But if you look at the other states and when they're in session, most of them are out right now. Your state may be in session. If they are, then reach out to them. Send me the information so that we can start including them on the constitutional minutes. And we'll actually, if there are states, you have a state that is in session and you have their email addresses, send it to me and we'll start sending them current constitutional minutes. This way, you know, we can actually start exposing them to the concept that there's actually solutions other than the status quo. We don't have to continue fighting this tyrannical government with the same tools and the same failed paradigms, because going into court is a failed paradigm. Anyway, and I do hope to be able to get engaged and interviewing some of these people. And actually, before we get into the resolutions, I do have an interview with Douglas V. Gibbs that I will be getting or injecting into the show before we get back into the Republic Review comments and content. So if I get an opportunity between now and Republic Review content to talk to John Gentry, I definitely want to, because here's a guy that is a champion of the First Amendment, the Constitution, and enforcement of the Constitution, and he's running for governor. And so we definitely want to, you know, build a stronger relationship with him so that we can actually make Tennessee, because we have been communicating to Tennessee legislators. And one first thing, he doesn't know that I've done this, that they've been receiving all of these emails from me. And so, and I've actually gotten feedback from some of them. And the interesting thing is, Tennessee is one of those that actually they do get the emails, where many states are filtering them. South Dakota, not one of the state legislatures ever received any of the emails I've been sending them, even though I had their email address. So in other words, some of the state government is actually filtering to make sure that, you know, they're not getting the truth in the news, and state legislators, when they go back into session, need to clean that up and say, why are you filtering this? This is content that every state legislator needs to be reading. And if I have to, I will forward it myself, because they need to start. We got to quit being nice. We have to start turning over tables and throwing people out of the temple. We have to stand the ground. We have to take a stand. It's not just about being resistant. It is about being truthful and telling the truth. Anyway, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. And again, I want to emphasize that we're driving towards canonizing the Constitution. And so I really hope that after we get through all of the resolutions in Republic Review, we can start driving with some commentary and conversations with other, I'll just say, leaders in the United States that start understanding, because this conversation with Doug Gibbs about canonizing the Constitution, it is critical. I mean, in talking to him, he got it. So I'm hoping to talk to Jake McCullough and Pastor David Whitney and other people about this concept, because they haven't even heard this yet and have not been able to connect to them. So anyway, let's just go ahead and move forward. So what we started with was the Kentucky resolutions that Thomas Jefferson wrote And it was secretly written, and because it was never really provided, I don't know if he handed it to somebody in confidence to say, do not expose me because I'm the vice president and I don't want to be, you know, railed with basically on these sedition charges. This new sedition law could have basically charged him for treason, probably. I don't know all of his concerns. I just know that he was the active vice president at the time, and he was resisting and standing up. But instead of standing up and going out and protesting and going out and, you know, creating this ruckus, what he did was he actually made a presentation for the state legislatures for them to petition their fellow states. Now, notice that this all initiated in these resolutions and the work that initiated it all initiated to their fellow states. In other words, petitioning them to redress the grievances of another government, the federal government, in violating the Constitution, calling them to their duty that they must support the Constitution as parties of the compact. They didn't go to the federal government and say you have to stop. They didn't go into the court system. They didn't sue in the federal courts and say you can't do this. They didn't go into a petition, a formal petition, to amend the Constitution. They didn't talk to their senators and congressmen, or all of their congressmen, representatives and senators in the federal government to say, hey, can you guys start working on amending the Constitution to get away from this? No. In other words, the solution, when the federal government starts violating the Constitution, they didn't go down the path of calling for an amendment or calling for a convention to amend the Constitution, nor did they go into the court system, nor did they go into an educational society to create a society to teach people about the Constitution. They instantly acted with the solution. So I want you to show you that there were actually three things that they didn't do. The one thing that they did is what a leader does. They didn't go, they weren't amending, they weren't looking for a constitutional convention. So that was actually four things. So that was two things under the umbrella of amendment. But they didn't go into the court system, nor did they create this educational society or an educational movement. Now, what they did do was they created the Republican Party, and that was taking action and direct action to get an outcome. So when you realize that the government is going in the wrong direction and it is politics that moves government, they created a political party, kind of like the Constitutional Party or the Constitution Party. It was a constitutional party, though. So even though there's no party out there called the Constitutional Party, they created a constitutional party. They didn't create a party that was going to offer free health care and offer unconstitutional stuff. Their suggestion and their pledge was to move the government back into the framework of the Constitution. I'm hoping that anybody that's associated with the Constitution Party or Republican Party understands the importance of shifting the party paradigm away from the agenda and towards compliance and nothing but compliance to the Constitution. Okay, so as they went down this path and as they started petitioning these other states, because the Kentucky resolutions went out to all the other states, and Virginia in December later on. So this went out in November from the, actually it was October that Jefferson published these, and it was November 10th when Kentucky accepted these. And it was December, we'll get to it, but it was in December when Virginia responded in kind with the help of James Madison. And James Madison was actually in session with these guys. He actually went in while they were in session and they talked. And he even gets into the details later on in his report and the notes on nullification about some of the conversations and the attitudes of many of these people that were in session, because he was schooling them. These men understood. So here it is very clear that what they didn't do and what they did do when it came down to violating the Constitution, when the federal government violates the Constitution, and technically in the paradigm of a constitutional action, when you look at the First Amendment right of petition, this is pretty much what they did. This was a petition to their fellow states in demanding that they take their responsibility over the Constitution seriously, and they act in kind with them to take the necessary measures in forcing the federal government into compliance. And so, you know, it's not a coincidence that as I started back in 2013 on this concept of the states having this responsibility, this was the basic premise in my first book, that the states are the ones that are the stakeholders. And that's a really bad word, I know, because it's a hot word for a lot of people, or a hot button word for people, but they are the parties to it. And so they have all the authority, they have all of the power to step in and force the federal government into compliance. All they have to do is one, recognize or even figure out or be told that they have this power, show them how to use it, and then we can actually get results, which is what James Madison and Thomas Jefferson were trying to do. So we'll be right back, getting back into the summary of what we've covered. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so one of the things I need to point out, because I fell backwards into all of this as I started looking and researching, because a long, long time ago, when I was really looking for what needed to happen, what ended up happening was this, and I'll just call it a premonition, revelation, whatever you want to call it. But when I was involved in a meeting, and it came to this group of people that the federal government was going to audit our contract, this contract that we were working on, that the company I was working with, they were going to audit us. And at that point, everybody in the room just, oh, are you kidding me? And all this whispering and talking just created a bunch of noise to where I couldn't really hear anything, you know, clearly, because everybody was talking at the same level. And so, you know, I was just kind of letting this sink in. And the thought, a voice, whatever you want to call it, came to me and said, why don't you audit the Constitution? And I go, wow, you know, that's really an original idea. Actually, it wasn't. But I didn't realize this. And who knows? It may have been something, you know, that having read the resolutions before, it may have been one of those things that said, you know, you maybe I recognized, but I did, because it took me a couple of years to actually go back to the resolutions and focus on these, because clearly this is something that they did back then, but I didn't tie the association of the Alien and Sedition Acts to all of this unconstitutional government until well after my second book. And it was while I was starting to work on my third book, as I started working with people, and people that were very constitutionally educated as well, started going through some of these things. And this is where I furthered my education in the research on all of this to go, wow, I mean, yes, there you go. Because if you read these resolutions of Kentucky of 1798, you'll find that what Thomas Jefferson is doing in these resolutions is auditing the Constitution and calling out the federal government for violating, or what parts of these acts violate what parts of the Constitution. And so in so doing this, this basically became the initiative, or I should say the initiatory action that one state would do. One state would actually go through and audit the Constitution, identify what powers are vested now in the Constitution with it and its 27 amendments, and then go through all of the powers that they're exercising, possessing, spending money on, and doing anything with any authority, and identifying which of those are not aligned with those powers that are delegated formally in the Constitution and its amendments. So in so doing, then we have this complete list, a laundry list of all the things that this state, whoever initiates this, South Dakota, Wyoming, whoever is the first state to be the true cowboy, to cowboy up and say, we're doing this, or to become the David to stand up against Goliath and call upon all the Davids to join, then they, what they do is they provide this information. We're going to get into that in Republic Review. But the fact of the matter is, right here in the Kentucky Resolutions, Thomas Jefferson calls out how the federal government is violating the compact. So you have to audit the compact first to first determine, is the compact being violated? Absolutely. And then he goes through and calls for and recommends that all the states set up committees of correspondence. He calls upon the state of committee, or I should say Kentucky, to create a committee of correspondence and convention. I believe that's what it is. And it's in, let me see, it is in Resolution 8. And I'm going to go down to the Resolution 8. And how does he start it off? That a committee of conference, not convention, of conference and correspondence be appointed, who shall be in charge to communicate the preceding resolutions to the legislatures of the several states, and that in kind, these state legislatures would do the exact same. Also, Virginia did. Virginia went and they responded in kind, and they created these communication, or these committees. And so what happened to the rest of the states? Well, they were so entrenched with the Federalists and big government that they actually made false accusations and insinuations and so forth. So that happens after Virginia responds. Virginia responds, like I said previously, Virginia responds like within 2 months. Literally, they're actually less than 2 months. They're coming out the gate from Kentucky actually accepting and promulgating these resolutions out to the other states. Virginia responds in kind, and this is James Madison. And Madison actually goes further in their resolutions, and in the Virginia resolutions of December 1798, and I think it's December 26th or 27th, it's right around the time when you'd think that they would be celebrating Christmas, but they didn't celebrate Christmas back then. They recognized, and I get into this in my Christmas program every year, how Christmas became and was really a manipulated holiday, and the good things about Christmas and the bad things about Christmas. But anywho, and I'm not, you know, trying to kick Santa in the teeth. I just want to give you the truth. I want to give you the facts. I want to challenge your paradigms so that you start looking at, you know, the Christmas holiday with some filters to go, wow, I mean, I never realized that what we believed is not necessarily the truth. Anywho. So in James Madison's resolutions, what he does is they basically accept the fact that what Kentucky did in their audit was accurate. They didn't challenge it at all. And then what they did was they basically said that, and he emphasized, and I'm telling you, in this he emphasized, and oh, by the way, there was no use of the word nullification in this document, in Madison's resolution or Jefferson's first resolution. He called them void. He said that these laws are void, that they're unlawful, void, unconstitutional, but he didn't use the word nullification. And so he did use the word and or term nullification in the 1799 resolutions, Thomas Jefferson did, but Madison never did. And he never called for nullification because Madison's understanding was a different paradigm than Jefferson's, because Jefferson was an acting lawyer and Madison was not. Madison had a JD, I believe it was from the college he went to was Prince Mary. No, it was Princeton. It was Princeton. It was New York or New Jersey. It was a New Jersey school that he went. And I believe that he received a JD, but it was an honorary JD. He did earn it. It was one of those, well, because he was an alumni from the school. They said, you know, we're going to give you an honorary degree because you've understood law so much that you created the supreme law of the land, or you were so integral in that. Anyway, back to what Madison did in these 98 resolutions. They didn't audit. They accepted what Kentucky had done. They didn't need to add on to it. And in contrast to Republic Review will require every state to do some level of auditing, because the states actually have to look, because one of the things that we have to challenge is the fact that did some of the amendments to the Constitution ever get constitutionally ratified? In other words, did your state go through the formal and official and legal process? Because it has been purported that the 16th and 17th Amendments were unconstitutionally ratified. In other words, they weren't really ratified properly. And if that's the case, what that means is they're really not legal and constitutional amendments. And that's big. That is huge. And so the states need to, and what we basically are asserting, that from the 12th Amendment, which the 12th Amendment was done in 1803, from the 12th Amendment on, or actually the 13th Amendment, or from 1803 on, because there was a 13th Amendment that was submitted and was supposedly ratified, and now all of a sudden somehow it got scrubbed away and scrubbed away out of history. So we have to challenge whether that 13th Amendment, the amendment of the nobility, the rejection of nobility and titles of nobility from public service. In other words, lawyers could not be public servants because they held a title of nobility and were held loyal to a separate organization instead of the Constitution. And they were being denied their ability to actually be public servants. And so, I mean, if you do the research on that particular amendment, you can start understanding who would want to attack it, who would want to erase it, scrub it away to make it seem like it never existed. And so, as we start doing this audit, each state that was involved in that original 13th Amendment, because I'm going to tell you, you won't find anything in California, but in Kentucky, in Virginia, Connecticut, and all these other original states at the time when that was submitted for ratification, we need to go through their records to find out, did they ratify that Constitution? Did they get the 3/4 necessary? And if not, I believe that that amendment is still out there. This is something that we probably really need to consider, just if you understand the Bar Association. And I've never gotten into that in detail, but I've talked to Brent Winters and I've talked to a lot of other people about how bad the Bar Association is as far as, you know, our Constitution and the constitutional government and our framework and so forth. They are literally enemies of the state. If you look at what they require lawyers to do, that's why there are lawyers that I know. And in this interview with Douglas V. Gibbs, we talk about a lawyer we both know. His name is George, and George is not a bar attorney, but he does practice and he works in the courts. That is strictly because he will not pledge allegiance to the Bar Association. His allegiance is to the Constitution. And so, anyway, let me get back into these resolutions and summarize these. I'm sorry for going down these rat holes. We'll be right back after these next two promos. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about the resolutions and Virginia's response. And what I want to do is get back into the summation of what they did and how they did this. So again, Jefferson audited and then called on the states to get organized, that they had to take action. Madison basically does the same thing, and in his resolutions of 1798, he points out that they're not only, they have to take action, they're duty bound to take action because they are the parties. So he educates everybody regarding, or at least the other states and state legislators, that they are the overseers, that they are the parties, that the states, plural, must act together in unison. But what he doesn't do in here is he does not point out the importance of the unity, the importance of the states collectively, or at least as a majority, working together. Now, when I say majority, I am not talking about a two-thirds or even a three-fourths majority. At this point in time, in defending the Constitution, it only requires a simple majority. To make changes to the Constitution, it requires a supermajority. But to enforce it in contract law, you only need a majority of the parties to say you must comply. And once you have a majority of the parties, it's done, especially if they've got you dead to rights in violating their compact. And so Madison does a great job in identifying, but everybody misses this. So in the next action that happens, so all of the states, they receive Virginia's response to Kentucky's response, as well as they've all received Kentucky and Jefferson's audit. So as they respond in kind to both Jefferson and Madison, Jefferson actually takes offense, and he actually feels insulted, and he calls them out on saying, you guys made insinuations and insults. They use the word insinuate, but he didn't necessarily use, I think, insults. But bottom line, the key word is, we cannot, however, but lament. And what does lament mean? I mean, lament is the a very powerful, or it is an emotional word of crying, weeping, howling. I mean, if you look at what lament means, it's not some, you know, stoic type of emotion. Lament is a very powerful emotional word for a lawyer and a man to use, okay? And so if you look, that was right there in the second resolution of the 1799 resolutions of Kentucky. One of the things he points out is he points out in this resolution that the union is far more important. And so if you look at how this is being stated, you can kind of see at the high level that Jefferson understood that it required a majority of the parties, the states, to actually get involved and to do this. And they basically drew the line, Kentucky drew this line to state that they were not looking to secede, they were not looking to be isolated from the Union, that it was more important that they oblige. Now, their understanding of this compact and their understanding of what was really going on was a first and only ever to happen, because every other action by the states later on that have been nullifying and doing all of these other things are so out of whack that we are in a state of actual anarchy. We're in a state of just disarray because none of the states understand the importance of the union and unity regarding their compact. They've been working separately. They've not worked together to enforce their compact. And this lesson actually comes out in the next document that was provided by Madison, and it is his report on the Virginia resolutions. But again, looking at this third document, what Jefferson is basically articulating that you need to get your arms around is that the union was more important, that if they can't get enough of the states as the parties to step in together, well, then Kentucky will have to cower to this unconstitutional government. And he's calling them out to say, you do have this right. We have a right of nullification. But he doesn't get into the details of what goes along with that right of nullification. And so what ends up happening? Jefferson becomes president. Kentucky doesn't nullify. They don't leave the Union. And the Alien and Sedition Acts, dry in the vine, they basically become inert because I think the acts expired while Jefferson was president, and it was never renewed or anything like that. So if we move on to Madison's report, which was 1800, now I forget what time, this was December 3rd, 1799. So it was almost a year after the Virginia Resolutions was done by James Madison. Their first shot across the bow, waking everybody up, saying, you're duty-bound to react to this. So by a year later, with all of the different sessions that had occurred in the state legislatures, they all responded and basically said, pack sand. You know, we kind of like, you know, shutting down speech and so forth. And what really happened was James Madison and Thomas Jefferson started by initiating and or creating a party, a contraparty to the Federalist Party, a party of constitutional standing, that we have to get the government within the Constitution because we believe the Constitution is to protect our liberty and our sovereignty, and not surrender our liberty and sovereignty and allow it to consolidate within government. So and it was a long, long time ago, and I wish I kept it, because I actually had the planks of the original Thomas Jefferson's Republican Party. And it was like, you know, 12 or 13 planks. It was less than 20. It was more than 10. And I was going, wow. I mean, and they were very simple. They weren't agenda planks. They had no idea. They didn't have, well, we want, you know, to institute Christianity or a form of Christianity or nothing like that. It was all about the concepts and the principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty that the party was taking a stand on. I believe that what they maybe it was just too simplistic that they didn't do this, but this is why I believe the Constitution Party needs to get simplistic. They need to be all about supporting the Constitution and the constitutional processes. It's one thing to have a discussion regarding amending the Constitution to do blah, you know, to, you know, get, delegate the powers for the Department of Transportation. And, you know, are there merits to that? But it's, that's one thing to have that discussion, but bottom line, the federal government can't operate that, and until we amend the Constitution, they can't do it. And so to drive that and say we have to first seek compliance before we start actually allowing them to do any of these things, because clearly they have abused their powers in all of these different ways. And we have to have a conversation of, if we're going to do that, how to den that, and more importantly, or how to, you know, put it into context for very tight controls. But even more importantly, do we really ever want the federal government, who should be taking care of our strategic interests, and we should be dictating what our strategic interests are to them? They shouldn't be telling us what our, because if it's a representative government, it shouldn't be representative of what's best with the world, what is best with this republic and these states. And I can prove to you, and they have proven, the federal government, our presidents, and so forth, have proven that they have made compromises at our expense for over a century, going back well before Woodrow Wilson, well before Taft, well before Teddy, going all the way back, you know, into the mid-1800s, and even before. Andrew Jackson was making terrible, terrible political compromises with a trail of tears. Thousands of people died. Thousands of, not just people, a very specific race of people were killed. And that was unconstitutional. So my point is that what we have to do is we have to get them back into the, you got to get the genie back into the bottle before we talk about growing that bottle. And so the report on the resolutions were the clarification of exactly how and why the states are the only authority. And Madison gets into this. You really need to reread this. But Madison shuts down the argument that the Supreme Court can't even discuss these things, because it's not within their jurisdiction. Their jurisdiction is limited to the enumerated powers. And when it comes to things that are violations of enumerated powers, then it is clear that only the parties can come in and say, yeah, these are violations. They can't do it, and we're shutting them down. This is why when you start looking at, and when we go through Republic Review, after we go through the marketing, you'll actually, I think you'll really start seeing, oh my gosh, this really does align with all of that. And I'm telling you, it wasn't necessarily a coincidence. I believe that the divine hand of providence has been involved in exposing me to this from that initial exposure or what have you. I'm a humble man, and this is not about me. This is why Republic Review is not a moneymaker or a self-interest for myself or any organization that I'm working with. I really stress this, and I hope I don't offend people when I stress this, when I talk to them. This can't be about you making money. This has to be about getting things right. And when you take that position, that ideological position, I learned this a long time ago in the intelligence community. There is nobody more dangerous than the ideologue that wants to get things right. So I will wrap up, because I didn't get a chance to. I do want to go through the details of Madison's report on the resolutions and Madison's note on the resolutions. We'll wrap up the summary tomorrow, and then we'll get into some other things that I think are really important before we get into the content of Republic Review. So, and we have a couple of interviews, hopefully, by that time. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.